Today's topic is a topic that I have never taught here in the center program, not that I recall at least. It's something that I have had to deal with fairly often, possibly weekly, for close to 10 years, actually longer than that. And it is something that will inevitably come up not only in your business lives, but in your personal lives as well. And I will illustrate it with the following pretty extreme example that happened to me in about 2003-2004. I was working at a company in Los Angeles on the corner of Pico Boulevard and Wilshire. Wilshire and Highland. You guys are familiar?
Oh, wow.
Okay, so right there, I was living on Mansfield, not far from 2nd Street, so it wasn't a very far commute home. Friday afternoon, I used to try to leave work approximately 2 hours before sunset, 1.1 miles home, no problem getting home. What's the worst? They close down the city, you walk, right? Not a big deal. 2 hours before, I was trying to reach the CEO. We had a big decision to make in the company, and I've been trying during the day to reach him, and now I'm starting to wrap up, not yet on the way out, but close to. He gives me a call. I see on caller ID that it is him calling on his cell phone. And I said, Baruch Hashem, finally we can deal with the issue. I answer. And then I start thinking a little bit that the CEO was traveling. And I knew that he was in a place called Texas. Texas is 2 hours ahead of California. CEO is not observant, but Jewish. And I start thinking, I'm on the phone with someone, and either it's right before Shkia by him, or right after Shkia by him. That makes a difference. And I try to get off the phone as quickly as possible, not really knowing what I should do. Get off the call. I went straight to the office of the president of the company, who was an Orthodox Jew, son of a big rabbi, and I said, what do you do when the CEO calls you and it's possibly Shabbos by him? And he says, well, I don't answer. And if I do answer and it turns out to be him, I hang up. So that's going to be our topic today, is phone calls.
He's the president.
The president.
So he's the president.
He's the president.
He can do that.
Still, you're hanging up on the CEO.
Right, absolutely.
CEO has more of the company, more of a percentage of the company than the president. Well, he's more senior.
Chairman.
No, the CEO is his right, boss. Right. So it's both of our bosses. He happened to be the president. I had to not be the president of the company. But we have the same issue. Do you hang up on the CEO or not? Now, this is actually a broader topic than just do you hang up on the CEO or not. Our question is phone calls cross time zones when people are in opposite time zones. What do? Can you take the phone call if they're non-Jewish? If they are Jewish, how do we handle that? If we want to receive a call, if we want to place the call, if we want to send a text, receive a text, well, if we don't have a choice in receiving a text, responding to a text, or emails is very common. Can I send somebody, Jewish, non-Jewish, and it's an email across time zones close to Shabbos, or very prominently when it's right after Shabbos here in Israel? Can I respond to emails that were received over the past 25 hours? If somebody on the other end may open it, respond to it, Jewish or not Jewish, is it a problem? So we're going to divide it up. This happens to be also a question that I don't know if you guys are going to really relate to, but there's something that used to be called a fax. Fax machines, you know, faxing to people, they are not used anymore. Fairly ironically, when I started doing this topic, so I divided it up in three between phone calls, faxes, and emails. And the vast majority of the poskim have written on faxes. And I spent a long time looking up the topic, and I got to the end, and I say there's enough on phone calls, there's so much on faxes, and there's almost nothing written on emails and texting. And then I said, but faxes aren't used anymore, so I pulled that topic out, and we are down to having our topic on phone calls and emails. Don't worry, we will have plenty to talk about emails, but I'm just saying that the post game don't talk about emails that much, hasn't been written on a lot. So that's going to be our topic. Do you need to hang up? What do you do? Okay, so we're going to start with phone calls, and then we're going to go on after phone calls and talk about email. So in general, our issue here, if we're in opposite time zones, then it is not Shabbos for me, but it is Shabbos for him. Do I need to care about that? Meaning, do I just got to worry about what I do in my time zone? Because here, it's not Shabbos. Let's assume we're in Israel and we're dealing with people in Chutz Laretz. Do I got to worry that I'm communicating with someone there that it's Shabbos by them? Because the act that I'm doing is causing a malacha to be done in a place that it's Shabbos? Or do I simply need to worry about where I am if it's not Shabbos? I just have to worry about that. Okay, so let's continue. I'll delay and we'll take topic. We'll take questions a little bit later. Okay, so when it comes to phone calls, I'll just give another example. Seeing that it's almost Erev Yom Kippur, the week of Yom Kippur, this is an email that I received the day before Yom Kippur, a couple years back, 2015. A guy I was working with, again, Jewish but non-observant, and he sends me an email, Erev Yom Kippur, when are you back online so we can speak? He wants to set up a phone call with me. When are you back online so we can speak? So when am I back online? It doesn't matter when I'm back online. The question is, I'm here in Israel, he's in Los Angeles, when is he allowed to be back online, right? Because that's going to be after when I'm going back online. So I responded to him, when Yom Kippur ends for you. That's my response to him. When am I back online? When you're allowed to be back online. So he responded, yup, got it. Shouldn't be working on Yom Kippur. So our issue, obviously, and we've talked about this in the past, is Lifnei, Iver, and Mesayeh. I'm going to give a two-minute recap because we've done that in depth in the past, but that will be an important prohibition that we're going to have to be avoiding as we go through our topic. So Lifnei, Iver, literally speaking, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. The poskim apply that in other additional areas, as we'll see. Come Yom Kippur, there's an achet that says, achet, if I give anybody bad advice, giving somebody bad advice, especially if we tried, if we had an interest in giving them bad advice, that would be included in Lifnei Iver. I set up somebody to do something he shouldn't have done, that's setting up a stumbling block in front of not literally a blind person, but somebody who is coming to me to ask advice. So whether that would be a Lifnei Iver, that's a chet that we'll see. The Lifnei Iver that we're talking about is aiding and abetting somebody to do an Aveira. So if somebody calls me and it's Shabbos for him and not Shabbos for me, and I answer, we have a question, is that a prohibition of Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Iver is a biblical prohibition of aiding and abetting. We said in the past also that it is biblical only if I'm the only way that that person can do the sin. But if he has other ways to do the sin, for example, our example was the Nazir giving somebody who's not allowed to have wine, and I pass him a bottle of wine, I have the only bottle of wine on the island, then that's an Isser Deraisa. But if there are other people who have bottles of wine on the island, then it would be an Isser Derabanan, not an Isser Deoraisa. Okay, I'm going to plow through this. So when it comes to having a phone call, when it comes to having a phone call with a non-observant Jew, when it is Shabbos for him and not Shabbos for me, Rav Breish, the Chalkas Yaakov, was asked as follows. Somebody was calling from Europe to somebody who's in New York. Let's assume that they're in the diamond trade. It doesn't really matter. Calling from Antwerp. In Antwerp, they're involved in the diamond trade. In New York, they're calling the diamond district. The guy in Antwerp is not observant. There's a 5 to 6 hour difference between Europe and New York. I don't know exactly between Antwerp and New York what the time difference is, but what is it? But it's 6 hours, so 6 hour difference. It's Friday night there. It's Shabbos. In Antwerp, New York, it's still the middle of the day at work. Can the person answer the phone and have that conversation? Okay, everyone with me? That's our question. Guys, this is also relevant. If you have non-observant relatives that call you from the States and it's Shabbos or Yontif there and not Shabbos or Yontif here. That will happen all the time. Somebody calls and wants to say Shana Tova, right? And it just ended for you and it's still the middle of the Netana Tokef Musaf for them. Is there a problem of answering that phone call? So the Chalkas Yaakov says as follows, Zeh Shehu Yesocheach who over belief neiver iser gamer midil raisa, to have that phone call with somebody who's not observant when it's Shabbos by them, not Shabbos by us, is a biblical prohibition of belief neiver. The ha'etzel hamidaber be'iropa for Isle Shabbos, because Shabbos has already started for him. So that's the Chelkas Yaakov, is clear on that. The Yalkut Yosef agrees it's prohibited. His example is not in the business context. His example is with relatives, non-observant relatives, calling. He says as follows, Mishi Odea Shekrovav HaChilonim, non-observant relatives in Chutzlarts are calling him from the United States of America to Israel. Pretty on point, right? B'motzei Shabbos, by us, Shalanu, don't answer the phone, because if you do, you are violating. And he says not the Isser D'Oraisa of Liv Neiver, he says the Isser D'Rabbanan, rabbinic prohibition of Messiah. They don't explain, the two of them, why it would be an Isser D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. Regardless, both of them agreed that it would be prohibited to have that phone call. And if it is prohibited to receive that call, it is certainly prohibited to place that call, to initiate that call. That would be even worse. So another non-leaf naiver issue that came up. This was, again, I don't remember exactly when. This was probably 2012 or so. So we moved to Israel in 2009. And I was working with a company, 9, 10 employees, not very big company. I was the Orthodox Jew. There was another non-observant Jew, and everyone else was not Jewish. So that was the company. So out of, approximately 10, it went up and down over time. 10 people, 20% Jewish. Me, the rabbi, right? Not literally, but the Orthodox Jew. And the non-observant, non-affiliated Jew. And my issue regularly was responding to his calls or emails when his Motzei Shabbos here and not Motzei, and Shabbos by them or Yontif by them. So one time this happened, we had a standing conference call. Everyone in the company was required to be on a call Tuesdays, 10:30 a.m. Pacific time. Pacific time is California time. Everyone calls in. You call into the freeconferencecall.com, right? You can do it free. So freeconferencecall.com, everyone calls in. And for me, Yontif had ended. Tuesday was Yontif Sheni, the second day of Yontif. So Monday was Yontif for me. Monday night ends, right? I'm free. Tuesday is a regular day. But for him, we'll call him Bob, for all intents and purposes. Bob there, the non-observant Jew, he was supposed to have Yontif on Monday and Tuesday also. Second day of Yontif was Tuesday for him. 10:30 a.m. Tuesday is Yontif for him and not Yontif for me. So I said, I can't call in. I'm going to be conversing and Tom's going to respond to things I say and he's going to be on the phone call longer because of me. That's not going to work. It's going to be a problem. So I said, I'm not calling in. I told everyone in advance I'm not going to be able to make the call, even though it wasn't Yontif for me. I'm not going to call in. I'm not going to be on the phone and cause Tom, I have a leaf neighbor issue, right? I'm going to be enabling him and causing him to stay on the call longer and respond, et cetera, et cetera. So then I decided, but what if I call in and don't tell anyone? And if I do that, I'll at least know what's going on in the company. Maybe. So that's what I decided to do. I called in, 10:30 a.m. Israel time, 8:30 p.m., not a problem, middle of the workday here in Israel, and I listen, and Tom's talking, and I'm just listening in. No one has any clue I'm on. I hang up, and a little bit later, I had the thought, was that problematic? I had no leaf neiver problem, but what problem do I have? Very good, Max. We said in the past, somebody who cooks that egg on Shabbos, I'm not allowed, no Jews are allowed to benefit from that egg until after Shabbos. Now, an interesting question. He cooked that egg, right? He's on the call. I'm having chana from him until after Shabbos. But are we talking about his Shabbos or mine?
And it's a shofar thing. Someone that does an Aveira, that it's a mitzvah, you're able to benefit from the mitzvah. But this is the egg, you're not anywhere near it.
So this is the egg I gotta wait for, right? But
no,
here,
but
as he's doing the Isser,
yeah,
Shofar is different. Shofar is a different situation because you have the coal there. Maybe you want to say that this is a coal, but he's talking. He's talking on the phone. He's doing, that's causing the electricity to work. which is a machlok in and of itself. He's increasing the zerim, increasing the electricity uses, whatever it is, staying on the call longer. Maybe I have a problem of hana'a, as long as I'm benefiting, it's not my detriment, right? As long as he says things I like, I guess. But I'm having hana'a from being on that call at the time that he's doing the malach. It's not like I'm listening to recording afterwards. So the Shemira Shabbos Kihilchasa, on the second prohibition that we've got to grapple with, says as follows. If you have a Jew who is a Mechala Shabbos, who profaning Shabbos, non-observant, that he has, is that he's in a place that at Shabbos, it's prohibited to have a phone call with him. He doesn't say because of Lif Ne'iver in the footnote. Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says, the Harei, what's the prohibition? Hu nehene mi ma'ase Shabbos, shenase be'isur. That you, as the participant in the phone call with somebody who's non-observant, you're having benefit, or I was having benefit from a lacha that was being done on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that is prohibited. Okay, where are we right now? We're just to divide up and keep it a little bit organized. We're talking about in the topic of phone calls first, and we divide up phone calls. We'll talk about email afterward. We're dividing up between discussions with Jews and then non-Jews, and we'll do the same when it comes to email. So we've covered Jews having a phone call with a Jew who's not observant in a different time zone. We have two problems. Number one, it's a lif ne'iver. We're discussing lif ne'iver, misayer, the deraisa, the rabban, and also a hana'a benefiting from halacha that is being done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, quick question. Yes.
I just want to review the first opinion that the Rebbe stated, that it's an issue of lif ne'iver according to the Hilchos Yaakov.
One says the Raisa, one says the Rabbanan.
Which one says the
Raisa? The Chakas Yaakov, the Ashkenaz says the Raisa, the Alka Yosef says the Rabbanan. I don't know why. They don't go get into their discussion. It could be they would agree with each other just on their fact scenarios. It was the Raisa, the Rabbanan. Yeah?
If we'll say that you do have a problem of benefiting from Tav's Malacha while still Yom Tov, does it make a difference that it's no longer Yom Tov at all for you? That the entire day wasn't a Yom Tov for you?
Yeah. Still, the malacha is being generated, the isser. Right. So the isser is being done. The question that I would have is, I can't listen. It's being isser, but how about if it's a recording? Can I listen to that recording immediately, or do I have to wait till Shabbos or Yom Tov ends by him? But listening to the isser as it's being done, even if it's not Shabbos for me, is a problem. Yeah?
Would it avoid it if Bob happened to be an Israeli that normally only kept one day Yom Tov, and now he happens to be Bufards?
You know, he's supposed to, the poskim agree that if he's in an area that there are Jews, he has to keep Yom Tov Sheni. Also, afilu bechedre chador, even in privacy, he should. So the same thing would apply there. If he happens to be in a place that there are no Jews, then there would be heter. Yeah?
Would it be considered enough since it's a conference call? So he's being a part of a whole, meaning if he wasn't there, there'd still be that conference call. And if it was just him without the conference, then you wouldn't be getting any anah because you'd be getting no information. So I'm saying, would you really consider it anah if he's part of it?
You know, he is contributing to the call. So there is a hanah there. As long as he's contributing, there's hanah, especially if somebody needs to hear that information, somebody's an owner of the company, is having hanah from the employees participate in that call. Yeah, Max.
The Rebbe mentioned this quickly, but if you're not getting hana, if it's actually to your detriment, or it's not hana, are you saying, I don't know, if he's not being...
Yeah, the answer is, I don't know. We'll see at the way end. That we'll get into Pesach of Rabbi Breidowitz that we'll touch on that.
And then also, since it's Yom Tov Sheni for him, since the Rabbanan, does that...
Doesn't have an impact. Rabbi Breidowitz says that doesn't have an impact either. Yeah.
So he's already made the call, and he's talking to you. What's the issue?
We'll get into that. Excellent question. I was going to skirt that issue, but okay, we'll get into that. Okay, let's continue. Speaking with a non-Jew, and if I don't, please remind me. Speaking with a non-Jew now on the phone. Can somebody speak with a non-Jew? So the Chalkas Yaakov continues when he said you can't speak with a Jew. He says apparently it would be his problem speaking with a non-Jew also. Why? The concept of prohibition of Amira La'akum. What's Amira La'akum? Requesting a non-Jew to do something on our behalf.
Right.
That applies when it's Shabbos. I want the light on. I can't tell the non-Jew, please turn the light on. I left my light on in my room. I can't sleep. Please turn off light. We can't tell them. We can't request for them to do malacha. What we cannot do, we cannot request they do on our behalf. And that applies even if I instruct the non-Jew before Shabbos, not even Shabbos, to do something on my behalf on Shabbos. That is also a problem of Amir La'akum. I tell the non-Jew, listen, it's 3 days, Yontif 2 days, Shabbos, I need the dishes washed. Would you mind coming in? I put the soap in already in the dishwasher. It'll all be loaded. You just turn it on. That's all you got to do. And I tell them before Yontif. Is that a problem? So Amir La'akum applies, even if I instruct them before Shabbos and before Yontif to do something on Shabbos. So the same thing apparently would apply. Here I am in New York, and the non-Jew is calling me from Antwerp or whatever, wherever else he may be. Amir La'akum applies even if I instruct him before Shabbos to do something on Shabbos. So here it may not be Shabbos for me, but it's Shabbos for him. Apparently there's a problem of Amir La'akum. What, you don't like that?
Apparently.
Can't be, why not?
Shabbos doesn't apply to him.
Shabbos does, but it does.
It only
I can't have him do things on my behalf when it's Shabbos.
When
it's
Shabbos
it's
for
not
you.
Your Shabbos.
When Shabbos to you.
Oh, you guys are way ahead of me. Okay, so there's a big difference between the two. But let's take a step back before we get to the difference. What's the problem with Amir La'akum instructing a non-Jew to do things for me on my behalf? So there are two reasons brought by the Poskim why Amir La'akum is prohibited. Number one, there's a Poskim that says, Vidaver Davar. I cannot, my Dibor, what I say is relevant. I, on Shabbos for me, cannot instruct him to do acts on my behalf. That doesn't apply to my instructing him before Shabbos, on Shabbos. But the problem is, if even if I instruct him before Shabbos, it's the concept of shlichus, that he would be doing. He's my shalich, he's doing something on my behalf. Shlichus would be my proxy. If he's doing stuff on my proxy, even if I tell him before Shabbos, but he does it on Shabbos for me, that's a problem. This is a very different situation, as you guys pointed out. When it is not Shabbos for me, I can have a phone call with the non-Jew. Why? Because I am not having him do something that I myself am prohibited to do at that time. I'm allowed to have a phone call at that time. It's not Shabbos for me. He's not acting as my shaliach to do anything wrong for me. I can have the phone call. I can do my malacha myself. So as long as he's not my shaliach, right, violating Shabbos because it's not Shabbos for me, then I can have that phone call with the non-Jew. So this is something that happened to a friend of mine. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He was dealing with a non-Jew in Michigan. And there were a number of Jews that had to deal with that non-Jew. And the non-Jew knew that it was 2 days of Yontif. Now, for my friend here, he called him after Yontif here. And he's having a conversation with him. It was Yontif Sheni that night here, Yontif Sheni, second day of Yontif, and having a conversation with him. And the non-Jew in Michigan say, hey, I have, quote, hey, what's going on? I thought you had a holiday. So my friend tried to explain to him that in Israel, it's only 1 day. Out of Israel, it's 2 days. So he responds, why didn't you just call me tomorrow? You know, he didn't believe him. He mamish did not believe he said, this guy just wants to do business with me. So he's calling on Yontif. So my friend gave another shot at it. You know, it's 2 days, 1 day, and the guy just didn't get it. He says, so if you live in Israel, there are a lot of leniencies. So it didn't go anywhere. He said, okay, I'll call you tomorrow. This is our mashkiach, is the non-Jew in Michigan. Okay, so our next step then is, how about calling a non-Jew where Shabbos for him, not Shabbos for me, and requesting he do a malacha for me? Do you mind doing X, Y, and Z? Buy the stock for me, whatever it may be.
Wait, Shabbos for you?
It's not Shabbos for me, Shabbos for him, but now I'm not only having a phone call with him, but I want a request from him to do something on my behalf. So the Orcha Shabbos quotes the Chalkas Yaakov, and Rav Nissen Karelitz, it says as follows, a Jew who is located in Eretz Yisrael, Motzei Shabbos here, Motzei Yontif here, it doesn't matter, he's permitted to make a call to a non-Jew who's in the United States of America or any other country in addition, at a time where it's Shabbos there, and to ask him to do malacha for you. Why? Why can I request he do malacha for me? Because I am permitted to do malacha myself right now. It's not Shabbos and Yontif for me. So if it's not Shabbos and Yontif for me, I can have the phone call with the non-Jew. I can request that he do malacha on my behalf. However, what is problematic is simply calling the United States or wherever else where it's Shabbos, and there, if the non-Jew is acting on behalf of a Jew who had Shabbos for him, For example, calling the non-Jew in Michigan and saying, hey, can you go to temple and tell Yankel, even though it's Yom Tov for him, but just relay a message on my behalf, right? That's a problem. If you're acting on behalf of a Jew. A Jewish-owned company, yeah. I'm going to skirt the issue of having, if and these have talked a lot about it in the postgame, how about if I own a business in China, right? Does that, and it's Shabbos there, but not Shabbos for me, do they have to close down? Or if it's Shabbos for me here and not Shabbos for there, do they have to be closed based on when it's Shabbos for me? That question is also if somebody owns a dog and his dog is in a different time zone, right? Can you take that dog out for a walk or do whatever you typically can do on Shabbos and Yom for that dog? Or does that dog have to keep Shabbos based on where I am? So this comes up. We're going to avoid all of those issues. We're just going to talk about phone calls and emails today. Okay, so next step goes as follows. We are going to go now into emails. To recap, when it comes to phone calls with a non-Jew, asking the non-Jew to do something on my behalf when it's not Shabbos for me, even when it's Shabbos for him, not a problem. However, for a Jew, we have two problems. We have a leaf ne'iver, and we also have a potential hana benefiting from malacha that is being done, that conversation by that Jew when it is Shabbos for him. How about emailing? I'm going to go in the reverse order here and talk about non-Jews first, and then we're going to get to Jews. So this happened to me a few years back. We had a consultant working for our company who was located in California somewhere named Norma. Norma was not Jewish, and I was catching up on my Friday emails on Motzei Shabbos, and I responded to Norma, and within about 32 seconds, Norma responds to me, "What are you doing? It's the Sabbath. You shouldn't be sending emails." She's very smart lady. She's very smart, and she keeps you in check. You've got to stay from when you're around Norma. So I have quote, "What are you doing sending emails? It's the Sabbath." That's what Norma told me. So I have to respond to Norma. I'm in Israel. I live in Israel. And it's not the Sabbath for me. And it's certainly not the Sabbath for you. No, I didn't add that. I did not say that. But she understood it's at least not the Sabbath for me. So when it comes to dealing with non-Jews, we don't have a problem sending the emails, the texts, the WhatsApps, or whatever is the mode of communication with the non-Jew, even though they're in a jurisdiction, an area that it is Shabbos. As long as it's not Shabbos for me, I can respond to them. I can initiate contact, etc. Not a problem. Yeah.
Very specific case. If there's someone that's in the process of converting.
Not Jewish. Until you're Jewish, you're not Jewish. And they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So you may be doing them a favor.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What about the subject?
We'll get to it. Great question. Yeah.
So it's a two-part question. The first is the impression. Because if you're leaving an idea that automatically these goyim, who seem very keen on Jewish observance, you're sending them an image too.
Excellent. So right, let me answer that. Let me answer that one. I'm going to forget the first one, but before you get to it. So real quickly, and this we'll see come up occasionally, there is no deen of Maris Ayin when it comes to non-Jews, right? I don't have to really give off that I'm giving off the impression of doing an Avera to non-Jew. The Pasuk says, Vayisim Nikim Hashem Umi Yisrael. I have to look clean in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Jews, but not non-Jews. What I do have to worry about with non-Jews is making a Kiddush Hashem, a Chilul Hashem. But there, I can just, if they raise the issue, I can just tell them, I can just respond to them, you know. And you have to remember, unfortunately, most of the Jews that non-Jews deal with are not observant. So it's not even registering on them. I admit Norma, she saw my kippah, she was aware of what that meant. So she knew to check in on my frumkeit there. But otherwise, we wouldn't unfortunately have that concern. Question number two.
So that's related, because I think Moshe Feinstein had the ruling is that, so when it comes to an image, a non-Jew, observant Jew, oftentimes, has these horrible images of, how we're so observant and we're destroying the world. Okay. To the point, how does it affect your non-observant or non-two-day Yom Tov keeper in Hutzlar to happen to be in the same company as you are? So, you understand the...
Yeah, absolutely. That issue comes up a lot. When you're dealing in companies and you have different kashrut standards and they say, but Joe eats out the tuna fish, and that standard, and here we have not somebody's doing something a little wrong and not wrong, but everything, it just gives off the appearance of impropriety. If they ask, we can explain it. But we should never, even in my scenario, that they're doing something wrong, never put somebody down. That's very important. We'll hopefully get to a topic on that eventually when it's prepared. But it's key when people check you and say, well, Joe does it. Joe does it, is okay shaking. Joe is okay mixed dancing, whatever it is. And Joe wears a yarmulke also. You just say, you know what, different people have different standards, and I'm sticking to what's okay with me or what my rabbi says. Okay, let's continue. What about sending that email, or we'll talk about actually a fax also, to a non-observant Jew when it's Shabbos for him and not Shabbos for me? Somebody was just telling me yesterday, in fact, my wife was just telling me yesterday, somebody sent her a video clip of a well-known, I don't want to give away who it is, a well-known person who is in the service industry that helps a lot of profile individuals. I'm kind of couching the language here. And he says, he tells his people that he deals with, I don't answer the phone. I'm not going to deal with you. And if there's an emergency, you know, maybe if there's life and death, I'll answer the phone. But if you need me, send me a fax if it's the Shabbos by me. Send me the fax, and I'll read the fax. So Rabbi Yisrael Belsky was asked in his Sefer Shulchan Alevi, is it permitted to send an email or a fax on Shabbos to a place that it's Shabbos? And from a place that it's not Shabbos to a place that it's Shabbos. So he says, mutar lishloach fax, odor elektroni, it's permitted to send a fax or an email, the Erev Shabbos, when it's Erev Shabbos by us, or Marzei Shabbos by us, and not Shabbos by us, l'makom shabok far Shabbos, the place that it's already Shabbos, you can send it. He didn't say you can answer it. It's permitted for us to send that email, to send that fax, kevan shela adam ha-sholeach adayin lo Shabbos, the person who's sending it, it's not Shabbos for him, right? Okay, we're not doing a malacha if we're simply sending that fax or that email. That's what he quotes in the name of Rav Eliashiv. Omnam, however, when it comes to the recipient, asur l'mekabel ha-fax, likro, so the person who receives the fax is prohibited to read it. Ola taltul b'Shabbos, or to carry it, it's muksa. And he continues, achein im yodeya, shemekabel ha-fax likro, so if you know that the recipient, yodeya, you know he's going to read it, or he's going to carry it, he's going to move it, whatever, it is prohibited then to send him that fax or that email because of Lifnei Iver. So sending isn't the problem unless you know the guy is going to read it. Open that email, read that fax, and then we have a problem of Lifnei Iver. So the obvious question then is, what if I don't know he's going to open it or read it? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. So we have a question of a suffek Lifnei Iver, right? It's a suffek. Maybe he's going to do the Isser, maybe not. Maybe I'm going to cause him to do a prohibition or not. So if we go back to the Gemara on Lifnei Iver is the Nazir on one side of the river, I'm on the other side of the river. He wants wine, he's not allowed to have wine. I have wine, can I give it to him? So the Gemara says, Lifnei Iver, you can't give him the wine. Rashi says as follows, don't give him the wine, he's a Nazir. Shema yavo lishtoso. What's Shema? Maybe. Perhaps he will eat it. Rashi's telling us, even if we have a suffix of an Lifnei Iver, we should be machmir. However, there are poskim that are of the view that an a suffix Lifnei Iver, we can be lenient. And that is a very important machlokus for us. The Ritva gets a little bit more complicated. I don't think we're going to have time for it. Even a deraisa, great question. Even on deraisa, that would be our one big heter on a Lifnei Iver deraisa would be a suffek. So according to Rashi, you have to be machmir. Suffek, we can't be lenient. On, according to some other poskim, now the Ritva doesn't say it's simply a doubt. He says if you have a reasonable, even if it's a doubt, but you think maybe he's going to be over the iser, reasonable basis to believe he's going to be over the iser, you have to be machmir. However, if you have a reasonable basis to be lenient, meaning you're not for sure he's not going to open it, but you have a reasonable basis to assume he's not going to open that email or fax, then you can be lenient. That's the Ritva. Okay, so Yitzitz Eliezer also, he says that if it is a case of a suffix and a Lifnei Iver, you can be lenient. If it's borer, if it's certain that he's going to do an Isser, then you have to be machmir, but if it's a suffix, you can be lenient. So based on that, we would say we are absolutely unclear, right? If it is a suffek, right? We know. If it's a vada, he's going to open up the email, then you certainly can't send it. If it's suffek, it's a machlokas. We're going to get a psak in a little bit. Would you guys say? You send somebody an email. Are you assuming that they're going to open it pretty quickly, or maybe it's going to take them 48 hours to open it? Not to respond, but to open it.
They're going to open it.
You're going to, how quickly? How quickly do people?
Within
48 hours?
Within 5 minutes.
Within 4.8 seconds. 4.8 seconds. How many times do people check? You guys are terrific. You don't have the smartphones out checking it. You're taking notes on it if you have the smartphone. But I will tell you, as you know, the norm in society is what? There was a study on how often do people check their email. Now it would be texting and all that. And I don't remember the exact number, but it comes to mind 250 times a day.
Whoa.
250 times a day. People are constantly checking their messages, their email. It is an addiction. I once said that I would love to figure out what the next legal addiction is, right? I would like to, you know, that's a good thing to market. It's a legal addiction. Emails and email and texting and all this, people are constantly checking. So to say that it's a soft fake, if somebody is going to open it or not, I think it's very difficult to say it's a soft fake. I think if we send it a few minutes before Shabbos ends by them, you know, maybe then it's a soft fake. But otherwise, if they've got a few more hours left before Shabbos, I would put it into the category of fairly close to a vaday, a certainty that we have a lifnei iver problem.
Wouldn't the soft fake be on the person? Like, I'm not sure if he's observant.
Okay, so that's our next question.
He's not observant.
Oh, no, Jewish. Our question would be, whether he's observant or not, we have a leaf naive there. But our question,
right.
What if I don't know if he's Jewish or not? This was Max's question before.
I was going to say that if he's not observant, then what's the
Sorry. If you know he's observant, then you can send it, because then it's a vada, he's not going to do it. But if he's not observant, when would we ever have a suffix?
Right.
We'll have to see. You know, the answer is, when would you ever have a suffix if you know a specific person? The default would be you can't send it.
Right.
Because you really don't have a suffix. When it comes to answering texts, opening up those emails, it's pretty much a vade. People are going to check them fairly quickly. If you know somebody subjectively doesn't check very often, I know him and he's off on weekends.
Right.
He doesn't check on Saturdays.
Right.
Then you would have a suffix, then you could be lenient on it. Okay, let me keep on going because we're going to run out of time.
Like 3 in the morning, their time.
But what, 3 in the morning?
Their time. They're not going to check. I mean.
But they, when they wake up.
Yeah.
If it's still Shabbos and Yantin. Okay. It's still Shabbos and Yantin. Okay, so how about if you don't know if the person you're dealing with is Jewish? I'll take it after. If you don't know the person you're dealing with is Jewish, can you rely on a suffix also? Suffix, be lenient on that. So. There's a very nicely done sefer called Commerce on Shabbos, and he says that being on the telephone or for the most part answering emails is an issur derabanan. How the electricity works, somebody asked about this before, assuming that his email is his computer is on and he's not going to be printing, it would be an issur derabanan according to many shitas. So because it's an issur derabanan, we can be lenient and go after the majority of people, the Rav. And the majority of people, if the Rav that we're dealing with are going to be non-Jewish, then we can assume that I can send an email to that person. We can have it's a suffix. That's a suffix, and then I can send to that person, even if he's going to open it on Shabbos, we assume he's not Jewish. Now, I spoke with Rezulun Schwartzman about this issue, and he said you can't go blindly after the majority because you have to look at the details. Maybe the industry you're in, the majority is Jewish, or maybe the majority of people in that company that you're dealing with is Jewish. So you really have to look at the facts and circumstances. The mass majority of people, when you're sending to Israel, they're going to be Jewish, right? If you're going in that direction, it's Shabbos for you, not Shabbos by them. So we can't simply say, oh, we're going by majority. Majority in the world are not Jewish, so we can be lenient. We have to really look at the specific demographic of the people that we are dealing with. Okay, what I want to do is I had some emails with Rabbi Breidowitz on this topic. He answered in fantastic detail and specificity. So I want to read some of his responses. He actually gave a long response, and afterward he says, my response was longer than I expected, so here are the cliff notes. He didn't use that word. But here are the cliff notes. I'm going straight to the cliff notes here. So this is the cliff notes. I bolded some of the parts that we're going to cover. This is the cliff notes of the response that Rabbi Breidowitz gave. Okay, so it goes as follows. Wasserman's question, if it is certain that the non-observant Jew will open the email when it's Shabbos by him, is it prohibited because of lifnei iver? So he says, although there are some grounds to be lenient, it is best to be machmir. I would also add that even if this is halachically mutter, it does not bring Hashem naches that extra chilul Shabbos occurred. So if it's a vadai, certainly don't send the email. How about if it's a suffek, if it's going to be opened on Shabbos or not? So he says, according to the Tzitzei Eliezer, you may be lenient even on the de'oraisa of Lif Na'iva. That was your question. If there is a reasonable basis of suffek, you have to have a reasonable basis of suffek. Although I feel my last reference to Hashem's naches may apply here also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to avoid interacting with people who may come to be Mechal Shabbos. Next, he adds on, I believe that if it is more likely than not he will open the mail, there is no basis to call that a suffek. For the most part, when we're sending emails, unless it's just 2 minutes left on Shabbos for them, there is really, it is more likely than not that they will open the emails, the text on Shabbos, and it should not be sent. It is a vadai, it is a problem of lif na'iver. If the sender has particular knowledge of the recipient's habits, as we mentioned before, he may rely on that knowledge and need not consider general habits. Absent such knowledge, he should follow objective criteria that people do open emails, and we should not be lenient on this. Next, what if the sender has a suffix if the recipient of the email is Jewish or not? Can it then be sent? So he says, according to the Tzitzei Eliezer, it can be sent. There may also be a heter of following the majority, following Rav. Next is my question that we're going to get to. No, that not yet. The next one is a very important question. How about sending an email to somebody when it's close to Shabbos by them? So that would be, for example, somebody sending an email from Chutz Laaretz to somebody non-observant in Israel 5 minutes before Shabbos starts here. So how close, right? What is your assumption? Now, we said before, you can assume that emails are open fairly quickly, right? So can he send it as long as it's 5 minutes to Shabbos here, 3 minutes to Shabbos here, 2 minutes to Shabbos here? So Rabbi Breidowitz says, I believe this would be permitted, again, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, provided there is enough time before Shabbos for the recipient to open the message. As a somewhat arbitrary rule of thumb, I would suggest that Friday emails be sent to non-religious Jews no later than 1 hour before Shkia, before sunset, where they are. Meaning, give them at least an hour to open up and respond to that email. So an hour before should be our default. Last, I asked him a question that was asked before. Do the same things apply to Yom Tov Sheni, which is the Rabban on the second day of Yom Tov? He says, I believe the issues are identical, even though Yom Tov Sheni is only Midrabanan. Okay, so to get back to my question, my boss calls from Texas. I'm estimating that it is Shabbos for him. Fairly close, it's Shabbos. If not, it's the sun is about to set. The last ray is coming over the hill. Shabbos is there. What should I do? So the president of the company says, you got to hang up the phone call. So when I looked into this topic, I came out with the conclusion that the president was white, right? As we saw in the Shmir Shabbos, Kilchus and other postgame, being on that call is an Isser Duraisa, it's Isser Durabanan. So one would have to hang up that call, would have to hang up immediately. Rabbi Breidowitz responded as follows. As a general matter, I would advise the person to hang up. Got to hang up. Person is non-observant. He's being Mechal Shabbos, and I am facilitating that. But he says, I would advise the person to hang up, perhaps with a hurried goodbye. Sorry, there is an emergency I need to take care of. Right? So he was more Mechal. He said, okay, oh, got to go. But he may have to just hang up and not say, got to go. Maybe if you're speaking and he's not speaking, don't give them the ability to speak. Oh, sorry, an emergency happened, got to go. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He just hang up. Now, he's hanging up his phone also, but he, right, am I causing him to hang up his phone? He would have had to hang up his phone regardless, whether we end the call in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a half an hour, so that's not my problem. Then he goes on to discuss the prohibition of Maaseh Shabbos that I'm benefiting, which has the impact on the conference call that I called in on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific. He says, the Isser of Maaseh Shabbos is a fascinating one, benefiting from somebody doing a malach on Shabbos. Theoretically, even if continuing the conversation is not a chilul Shabbos, meaning if somebody's calling in is the Isser, but technologically if he stays on, we would say that that's not an Isser. So even if he talks, maybe that's not an Isser, but he says it could be that because his calling in, his initiation of the call was the Isser, maybe that is continuing the Isser, having hana from that Isser, you are benefiting from the caller's malacha, but that may depend on whether the conversation gives me benefit or if it's only a benefit for the caller. Typically, it would be beneficial for us also to have that call. I don't know how beneficial or not we would define it, but we would typically have a problem with that. Let me recap and then a couple questions and then we are off. Our conversation was calls, emails, etc., across time zones. When it came to our first topic of phone calls, if the phone call is with or from a non-Jew, which he's in a place for Shabbos, I'm in a place that's not Shabbos, not a problem whatsoever. However, if the conversation is with a non-observant Jew in a place that it's Shabbos for him and not Shabbos for me, there are two prohibitions likely apply. At least one of them, Leif Ne'iver, I'm facilitating his being Mechal of Shabbos. And number two, I'm having Hana from his Malach on Shabbos. When it comes to emails, with a non-Jew, absolutely no problem. Texting, etc., not a problem at all. When it comes to a Jew, if it's a Safek, I'm not sure he's going to answer or not. We have to assume he will answer and it's prohibited. We cannot send that email. However, if we're fairly certain that he's not going to answer, it's more likely than not he won't open it, not respond, but he won't even open it, then we can be lenient. If we have a Safek, whether the person is Jewish or not Jewish, we have to look into the facts of the scenario. But there's a basis to really assume that the majority of people are not Jewish, then we could be lenient to send him an email, even if we know he's going to be answering on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If it does happen to you, somebody calls you, your boss calls you, and from a time zone that it is Shabbos for him and he is Jewish, what do you do? Gotta go. Hang up. Or just hang up. Yeah.
If you hang up abruptly or say, oh, there's an emergency, etc., are you going to be concerned that he's going to keep calling you back?
That's not your problem at that point. That's him initiating. I'm not being overly favored because of that.
If there's an emergency and then he's going to be worried about you and he's going to keep calling over.
He'll just say, oh, I got to go.
His own ex-Shabbos.
I gotta go. The cholt is burning, you know. Okay. Yeah.
Based on the phone call, Spar always said you can't join the conference call because he's in Shabbos. So then should that also mean that if we receive an email from someone who's in Shabbos, we couldn't read it?
Yeah, that would be Hanah Mimasa Shabbos. That's a good point.
It goes with texting as well.
That's a good point. If you have a Jew that is, so that's an interesting question. Do you have to wait till it's after Shabbos for him or for you?
Right.
I don't know. Great question, an important question. Very relevant question. Excellent. Let's verify that one. We'll have to ask Rabbi Breidowitz that question. Yeah?
Is there a problem with, like, say, on Yom Tov sending out establishing that whenever someone emails you, it will automatically send them an email, sorry, I'm out of this.
Yeah, that's a question. That's a question of Leif Neighbor. If it bounces back to them when it's Shabbos and Yom Tov by them, I've heard one Rav say it's a problem, one Rav say it's not a problem. I don't have a divinity. I think it's worse than a website because you're sending it. You're not being passive.
You set it up. Even if it says automated email to not reply.
So it's like the.
But they still open it.
It's like the virtual phone.
Yeah. You said the Rebbe Breidowitz said give the person an hour before Shkia.
Yes.
Does it mean an hour before your Shkia?
Before his Shabbos. Meaning, so he has.
We're dealing from Eretz Israel to America.
It's not relevant there.
Not relevant.
No. No.
So
it's only that's why I switched it. From there to here would be the same.
I can send it 1 minute before my shop.
Not a problem, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Last question.
I'm not sure if you mentioned it, but does it matter if you're sending an email direct to that person or a lot of emails I send through?
It doesn't matter. As long as a Jew is getting it, a group email, you're responding to 50 people in the company, a Jew is on it. That's an issue that I would have often responding Motzei Shabbos and 10 people on the email, and one of them was Bob. I would have to delete Bob and respond to the other 9, or just respond Sunday morning. And when it was Yom Tov Sheni, I'd be waiting a good 2 days because we don't have, between the Yom Tov Sheni and the time change, it's almost 2 days that I'd be waiting to respond to emails. Okay, guys, have a great week. I can take any questions outside. Let me know if you want to come first night, Sukkos.